Hi, Fashion Hotline.
Hi, after this long winter, my family needs a style pick-me-up for spring.
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, spring's first big sale is on now. Pick up fresh styles for the family from just $5, $10, and $15, with tees and tanks from $5, kids shorts from $10, and jeans from $15.
Whoa, styles from just $5?
That's right, plus get 50% off swimwear and buy online and pick up in store for free today.
Now that's a real pick-me-up.
Get to Old Navy and OldNavy.com now for spring styles from $5, $10, and $15. Valid 3/18 to 3/26 in stores. Select styles only. Excludes licensed and in-store clearance.
Hello, everybody. Is how Bosco used to start her show. I'm not Bosco. I'm Alan McGuire, and this is Juvenalia, where we ask an interesting person about a piece of pop culture that was important to them as a child. I don't have either of my normal co-hosts with me this week. Sarah's busy launching her book, Spare and Found Parts, in San Francisco, and Ellen is petting a dog somewhere. So they're both busy.
So that's the book?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
She hasn't mentioned it.
I've got a lot to live up to.
That is the sound of Andrea Farrell, who's co-hosting today. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good. Our guest today, not our host, our guest is Dream Guns and Mimes and Times' Hubert Hanley. Hey.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hey, how you doing?
How are things?
Good, yeah. It's a lovely Saturday. I don't remember what day it was there.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to talk about The Matrix, 1999's The Matrix.
And why have you chosen The Matrix?
Well, recently, with my group Dream Gun, we do these readings of films, unrehearsed readings, we call them, where we do readings of film scripts in a pub or whatever, in front of an audience with a bunch of actors and comedians. And recently, about a week ago, we did The Matrix, and we had to go through that movie scene by scene, because what we do is actually we end up rewriting the script quite a bit to add in jokes and whatnot, and I just kind of remembered how much I loved that film, and also how it was quite formative in my love of film. Like, there's very few movies where I remember exactly where and when I was, especially from that age when I saw it. But that one is, I can remember crystal clear when I watched it.
It's like your Princess Diana and JFK.
Yeah, exactly. Where were you when you watched The Matrix for the first time?
Yeah.
How old were you when you saw it for the first time?
I'm going to say 10 years old, I think. So what, it's a saga, it's a story. I had just come back from the Christmas fair at my primary school.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'd bought a bunch of sweets there, and I remember I was eating a bag of meanies, and my cousin, who was living with us at the time, he came to just to stay for 2 months and stayed for like 3 years or something, but he had rented it on VHS. And I don't know why, my parents were just like, oh, we'll sit down and watch this movie together. And I was like, all right. And I remember kind of hearing about it. I didn't know what I thought, especially because you're 10. It's just like, I didn't know. I remember hearing about it, and I didn't know it had done well. Like, I just...
Had it been out on DVD or tape long?
I would say it was fairly recent, because I'd say that's why he rented it. I'd say it was a pretty new release. And because it was near Christmas as well, so I'd say it was released for Christmas to sell then.
Yeah, you probably paid like £20 for it, €20 or something.
OVHSs were a crazy expensive.
1999 were euro pounds. We were pounds.
We were pounds still, yeah.
Pounds, yeah. It was because I know we watched it, and then my brother got it on VHS that Christmas because we loved it that much. But I remember just watching it, and I thought it was about someone getting sucked into a computer or something like that. I remember having that vague idea of what it was about. And then obviously it just blew my mind. Just the action sequences, just the whole thing was just... really, really impressive, and I remember just like loving it to bits. And then I've watched it like many, many times since.
It made us all love fighting.
Yeah.
My brothers fighting in weird ways, standing on the couch and saying, "Push me back," and then like hold my top so I can go.
I remember because I did karate at the time, and I remember going back and being like, "I just saw this movie," and it was just like really, basically all every parent's nightmare about like, you know, professional wrestling and violent movies, just we acted out everything we saw in the movie.
Do you wish that you could get plugged into the machine like Neo did and just have all these skills uploaded into your...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But I think that's... I think, like, I mean, it's kind of the step towards it, like with VR that's coming out now and stuff. Like, I've used the HTC Vive and different VR things, and I think just the seconds is prolific enough, we're just going to be in that world and we're going to stop living out here. We're just going to be like, the second we can live in a computer, we're all going to be like,
it was a premonition of a film, wasn't it?
It definitely was.
What will be the first thing you'll change about yourself once you have full VR capabilities? like better karate or
Probably the fighting. I mean, even that's like, that's so not practical. Like, I should probably be something good, like good with computers or like
able to farm.
able to farm or something like that. But it's literally like, and not even like proper self defense, like proper just like martial arts, running up walls. They I always thought it's really funny just how they all like, because he talks about how it's the residual self image, but like they all like dressing the same way, like they all like, and they also like the leather and the sunglasses, like is Morpheus calling the shots on that?
They all chose leather.
Yeah. And
like there's one guy who's just like, I'm not into this.
Yeah, like I'm going to wear just
better go along.
Comfortable jeans.
There's you can't really be unique in the Matrix. Yeah.
There is the one character who wears white all the time. But you must have had to trade in something major for that.
Yeah, that's Switch. Interesting thing, actually, we should say about that character, Switch, is originally the character is written to be female in the Matrix and male outside the Matrix. Ooh. And the idea was that they were represented by their inner gender, like they're, and then outside they're a male. And obviously, because of the Wachowskis transitioning and stuff, it was like...
Yes.
Yeah, it was early on. But then I think they took it out. I'd say the studio, A, had issue with it. But two, I can see why they took it out, because it's kind of like Switch, she's a minor character. And if they had that in, I think it would like, because the movie's so plot driven, it would kind of confuse people. They'd be like, wait, what's that about? What are they? And then the character's kind of gone. And
what is drunken boxing? That's one of the skills that
drunken boxing
goes into him.
It's a form of martial arts.
Is it? Yeah. I thought that was a joke.
No, it's
I thought they were getting a little gag in, so I wrote it down in capital letters here.
The
what
like
is
you it? Throw batter sausage at someone.
Yeah, and then vomit. It's so Drunken Master and Drunken Master 2 are Jackie Chan films that you should watch because they're great.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just a form. It's where you look drunk. Basically, the stance is kind of, I can't really show you on the podcast, but it's kind of like a moving stance, and it's like appears like you're drunk. But
one of the Tekken character, the old man Tekken character or virtual fighter character, does it.
Lei, the cop.
So imagine that guy. Yeah. Doing his thing. Yeah.
Doing his kind of drunken stance. But the choreographer, whose name I can't recall, I think worked on those movies, so I think it's a reference to. There you go. Yeah. Because when I was a kid, I thought it was like, I was like, ha ha ha, it's a joke.
Yeah.
So you're at the level of child Heber now.
Of 10-year-old Heber.
Yeah.
And I watched it without like Googling stuff.
Old style.
I wanted to have, you know, old school natural conversations here. Mm. I didn't want to go through the Matrix.
Through
the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it, actually, because I remember I was 14 when it came out.
Mm.
And I didn't see it till about a year and a half later, but I knew all of it. Like from this, if all those bits were in parody straight away, like even without the internet,
it still
spread completely. So all the major bits, like the bending over backwards bit and the camera spinning around, it was all everywhere, even before you saw the film, even in that very short space of time. So I felt like it took me ages to see it, but I never realized it was about a year.
That's really interesting, because
spread really, really quickly.
So I had almost no idea of any of that. That didn't come into, which I'm really, really glad, because I've never. Like, I went into that film so fresh, like, just so not knowing anything about it.
Had you been into sci-fi films before?
Probably, yeah. I remember watching, like, 2001 around that time as well. But I was so young that I can't even remember. Like, I liked Back to the Future, which is kind of more action-adventure, but it definitely stoked my love of science fiction films and like, John Woo and old kind of kung fu movies and... You know, all those. Bruce Lee is one I've never really explored that much, but yeah, like Jackie Chan, kind of seeing their influences, it definitely spurned that on. Cool. Mainly just tried to run up walls in my karate class, though. Yeah,
I remember one night in college, at about probably 1 a.m, we decided we would try to learn how to run up the wall in our sitting room, and it didn't go well
all.
No, one person nearly did it, but we just hurt ourselves a lot.
The best place to do it is actually the swimming pool. And then you feel really cool doing it, like you can do it.
But I find that, whenever you do backflips in a swimming pool, the water rushes up your nose. And it's awful.
That's part of it. If you can get a nose plug.
Yeah, I might, because I remember doing like flips and stuff in the water and then just being like, I'm melting. Like just really getting up into it. Like it feels like you're like, now my brain is flooded with chlorine. Like I just.
You know, when you can smell chlorine in a swimming pool, that means. Really dirty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's just my friend is a lifeguard, and he said Yeah, we just pump it full of chlorine to like cover all the nasty shit.
Oh no.
So I'm not sure if I've ever been
super,
in a clean.
Super, super clean yeah. swimming pools. You won't smell it.
They don't smell it.
But I've never been in one of them.
I'm trying to think, yeah, have I ever actually been in a clean swimming pool? Yeah.
Apparently there's swimming pools in the States and stuff that don't use chlorine. It's just like really heavy industrial filter systems, basically.
Oh.
And you would use minimal chlorine.
Cool.
Yeah.
One thing they've got right.
Yeah.
Is it true that in some of the in some pools in America they have this dye that when you piss it goes blue? Or
yeah,
is that
I've heard that. I think it's red. Yeah, yeah, or blue or whatever. Yeah, and but that seems
that's mean because like mean. I sometimes yeah. if I get really giddy, a little bit of wee comes out, and I don't want to.
Yeah,
be
especially
fun of.
Isn't that isn't that kind of? Yeah, it seems a bit. You know, first not everyone has complete control over that.
Yeah, it's
faculty.
Like
it's,
yeah,
it's kind of like everyone pisses in pools, right?
Everyone pisses. Right. Everyone pisses in the shower. No,
no.
So I had a story. My friends were at a party. It was like I think it was a nice dinner party, and it was they were all at this house, and it was just like fine, and everyone left at a very reasonable hour, kind of last bus, and then the host went upstairs, and someone had taken a shit in the bath.
What?
Ooh.
Yeah, and they don't know who it was, and yeah, it's very, it's a point of contention.
Did he know everyone who was at the party?
She, it was like close friends. It was a close friends party. It was, I think that's worse than finding a dead body.
Were people on
It's like Agatha Christie.
Were people No.
Were also,
people really drunk?
No, that's the thing. It was like a four beer, ends at 11 kind of nice gathering, you know. It wasn't like a rager, and then you're like,
oh my
shit.
God, like we had a party a few years ago and somebody stole the remote control for our telly, and I like still like give people evils when they come into the house for another party, because I'm like, it's one of yous. If someone took a shit like that,
I'd have beef
in my bath.
Yeah, it's
like,
nuts.
I lay down, brush my teeth sometimes.
It's pretty, I think, yeah, it is, but it is like Agatha Christie. It's like, who did it, you know?
Yeah,
where's the motive?
Yes, that's...
Yeah, what's the motive?
What's the motive?
Yeah.
Unless I think it was somebody who was just really stuck, maybe somebody was on the toilet, but then that means there's two parties
that's,
are
yeah,
involved.
That's conspiracy.
Yeah.
I would like to think it was just someone who was like, you know what, there's not enough mystery in this world. Everyone can Google anything at any point. You know, I need to just, you know, everyone, no one questions their reality anymore. You know, people used to see celestial events in ancient times and like, it would destroy their reality, and now we just know everything. So, you know, how well do you know people?
It's a hero, really.
Yeah.
Which is a lot like The Matrix in that.
Good link.
Good link, right?
Yeah. Well, that's, like that, you know, yeah. Well, no, like Neo has his reality destroyed and everything he knew was a lie. Just like, you know, getting sucked out of The Matrix is exactly like someone shitting in your bath.
Yeah.
What is on the floppy disk that those bunch of people come to get at the beginning of the film?
I don't know. Like, I don't, is it?
Or is that just
So what I think is, it seems to be like, I'd say it's some sort of software. So it is, yeah. I think it is software. I don't think it's like credit card numbers or anything illicit. I think it's like software. Because he goes, if anyone catches you using this, so it's either some prototype or something he's stolen from his work. So I'd say it's like, probably some like, oh, the new operating system, it's not out yet. But then he's like, but I the fact that he says if anyone catches you using this, I like to think that it's maybe some sort of governmental software, government only, that he managed to get his hands on and okay. something. But yeah, maybe it's from his
company.
They all
kind of show up to the door like, you know, a bunch of friends going to a friendly drug dealer's house. You know,
yeah, it's weird because they look like cool people,
metaphor for drugs, for how addicted we are to technology?
No, I don't think so. I think it's like the Wachowskis
scribble.
The Wachowskis.
My notes are worth shit.
Yeah. I think it's like the Wachowskis are like, hacking is cool, but hackers aren't cool. Like, they don't look cool. They don't look as cool as the guys who came up to the door look.
Yeah.
You know?
One of them is in Home and Away now.
One of the people at the door.
One? Yeah, the girl.
With the rabbit?
The
white rabbit on her shoulder?
Yes.
Father yeah. Mark. Oh, because it was shot in Australia.
Yeah, so she's been
home all Australian.
Oh, since I was in college, she was in Home and Away. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like 15 years.
I didn't know it was shot in Australia.
Good for her. Yeah, that's why it works for the film, because it kind of looks like America, but not America. Mm. Like, it looks like a slightly off.
And that's why that Spoon Child has a weird accent.
He does,
Australian.
Yeah, he's really Australian.
Yeah.
That's why Hugo Weaving's in it as well, I think. Or not? I mean, obviously Hugo Weaving's great as well, but
yeah. Learning.
Learning. So, who were you in the unrehearsed reading? Were you like, were you just one character in it, or you?
Yeah, I played Neo.
Oh, nice.
Who's actually?
Did you dress up?
He's like, no. Other people did a little bit. Neo's. You think it'd be the good character to play, but he's in every scene, and all he does is ask questions. All he's ever doing. Now, when you see, you know, the great Keanu Reeves doing it, you're engrossed. But when you're reading it off the script, it's just like, what's that? Where are we? Who's this? Where are we going? Like, every time, everything he says is a question.
Sorry, I've got another question.
And someone, yeah, he's like, what's
Morpheus,
this?
Morpheus. Yeah.
It's just, it's the movie's like 90% exposition. Where are we going? The Oracle. She believes this. And where is she? And how do we know her? And is this, and what I'm, this isn't real? What's artificial intelligence?
Do you think he's a good actor?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
I think he's...
He was good in The Matrix, but in every other film I've seen him in, it's been horrendous.
He's got a very narrow range. So he like in, for example, in Francis
As long
Ford,
as there's questions.
Yeah. In yeah,
as Francis, long as he's searching for something.
As long as he's like confused and doesn't really know what's going on. But no, like he's good in Speed. He's good in lots of stuff. I don't know. Oh, Bill and Ted. But he's... So the thing about Keanu Reeves is my brother has this great says this great thing about him. He says he doesn't think he's a bad actor. He just thinks that's how Keanu Reeves would react in that situation. Which makes sense. I think he's a wooden person. You know what I mean? He's not. But yeah, I like him actually.
Did
I
you see
like
the
him.
Latest film he was in? Well, it's the last one that I've seen him in where his wife
leaves
died.
Him. John Wick.
And then they come in and they murder his dog.
Yeah, his wife dies of cancer and gives him a puppy, and then they murder the puppy and steal his car.
And he goes searching for them, and when like, spoiler alert, when he gets them at the end, he's just like, his explanation for why he came after him was, "You killed my puppy."
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Yeah,
and I got that puppy from my wife who died of cancer.
I would probably go full on Taken if someone did anything to my dogs as well.
Oh yeah.
So I haven't watched Marley and Me. Because it's anything with a dog.
It's just really upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the dog died in Jaws. Most upsetting death in Jaws as well.
Yeah.
I agree.
And people kind of forget about that because a child gets murdered minutes later. Oh, no, is it? Yeah, no, it's a guy. No. Yeah, no, child. It is the child. Yeah.
It's a wee boy.
Mm-hmm. But it would have been a really different film if Will Smith had gotten the role like he was supposed to.
Yeah, I'm really glad he didn't get it. And...
He was
offered it and he turned it down for Wild Wild West, which
oh
I mean,
my God.
In retrospect, terrible idea, but same director and creative team as Men in Black, and he would have been paid a lot more money for it. So of course, like The Matrix wasn't a massive budget. I think it was like 80 million or something.
Wasn't huge,
maybe less, maybe 60. But anyway, if this small. You know, in inverted commas, film offered you this role, and then you're offered like a much bigger role for more money with people who have you've made a hit with before. Like, it's kind of a no brainer. It's just so abysmal. So the director of that and Men in Black and the Addams Family movies, Barry Sonnenfeld, he's the one directing the Series of Unfortunate Events Netflix show, which I'm very excited about.
The producer of Wild Wild West was the first illiterate head of a studio in Hollywood.
John Peters.
Yeah. He got into marrying someone. He was a barber.
He was
a hairdresser.
Barbara Streisand's hairdresser.
Yeah, Barbara's hairdresser. That's right. Yeah.
He's illiterate.
He was illiterate. Yeah. When he started making films.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you ever listen to Kevin Smith talking about making Superman, and he wanted to put a giant spider into it, and Kevin Smith was like, "I'm not putting a giant spider into a Superman film." And then John Peters went on and made Wild Wild West,
which has a giant spider in it.
He just wanted to put a giant spider into it, but he didn't care where it went.
It's insane. Yeah. And there's polar bears. That's actually the polar bears. He wanted Superman to fight polar bears in it. And there's a shot in Man of Steel where he's up north and there's a shot, like a really deliberate shot of a polar bear. And apparently it's a reference to that. But John Peters actually, he gets kind of ragged on a lot, specifically because of that Kevin Smith story. And apparently he's mental, but he was also like the big driving force behind like 1989 Batman and a bunch of films that did really, really well. So... It's kind of an interesting mix. He's been in the industry for years.
He's a really interesting person. Yeah. There's an episode of You Must Remember This. The Barbara Streisand episode of You Must Remember This is a lot about him.
I love that show. I just got into it like 3 days ago.
Yeah, the Barbara Streisand episode of that. a lot of it's about John Peters.
Okay.
Very interesting person.
He's sticking around. He's been in the industry for years. He still has producer credits and stuff. So the Matrix. here's the thing. I couldn't find a source on this, but apparently, so the whole thing is, you know, humans are being used as batteries to power the machines. And apparently, originally, in the script, they were used as processors, like computer processors, not as batteries. Mm. Because if you think about it, it literally makes no sense to use humans as batteries.
No, yeah. It's very inefficient.
There's a great line, and it's such a writer's line, like it's just them as writers, that obviously I think the studio were like, they won't understand computer processors, they'll only understand batteries. Mm. But he goes, combined with a form of fusion, he goes, humans combined with a form of fusion. So that kind of obfuscates it. It's like, well, you don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because like fusion is all the energy you'll ever need. Like the sun is a fusion reactor. You don't need like humans who don't. Yeah, anyway. But you kind of just retcon that in your head. You have to be like, no, they're just used as processors, not batteries.
So what did you like about it in particular? Like, or how do you think it's like,
I guess it was,
you said it was formative, so.
Yeah, I guess it was probably initially like the action sequences. Just I'd never seen action so well directed and just like so thrilling and exciting. Like I'd never seen anything like that. And but also I guess it was the plot as well, like just the kind of that kind of philosophy 101 is a really great thing to hang an action movie on, because you know everyone talks about like mindless action movies, brainless action movies. So just to have that kind of philosophical kind of question at the core of it, but not being too concerned about it, you know, just using it to kind of move the plot forward and move the action forward. It's a weird one because it uses kind of all these cyberpunk and science fiction kind of elements, but it's got a like kind of real Gnostic core, like, you know, all the God and religion and Jesus stuff is really, really in there. Yeah. And I don't know what, like, it's really strange that it is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a mix. Like, I mean, it's just all everything you like, you know, kung fu scenes and,
yeah,
you know, a Jesus story, everything.
Everything. Boy's box.
Yeah. I hadn't watched it since, I only saw it for the second time this morning.
Yeah.
And
second
it is.
Time ever.
Yeah. I only watched that one time. And it is, I kind of expected it to be worse than I remembered, but it totally wasn't.
Yeah, because
It does actually stand up. There was like 5 years where just everything was The Matrix.
Yeah.
And you got sick of it. But now you can come back to it and it is actually still a very good film.
It's really, really like blisteringly well edited and the sound design and just the ideas and concepts and everything are just...
What about all the little glitches now, the mistakes?
Oh, the little, like, the hands and the, all the continuity errors.
I noticed this at the start because I was probably paying more attention to the beginning of the film and I was just slowly kind of drifting off. But it's a part at the very, in the opening sequence where Trinity runs across a building and jumps through, does a Superman jump through this really small window.
Yeah.
And she goes down the stairs and she turns around. When she jumps through the window, she doesn't touch this lampshade.
She
goes down to the end of the stairs. She turns around, points her guns up, and the lampshade is swinging like. And that, and I was like, I had to rewind it and go, no, she didn't touch it.
Yeah.
How did they not notice that?
There's loads of things like, there's like rogue hands, like clearly just from the crew just standing there, like you can see them in frame. And there's things like when Neo's he's walking along just outside the window. And he drops his phone and he looks down and you see there's like a big crowd and then he looks down again, they're just all gone. Like that stuff like that happens. And it's like right after as well. I guess it's just, I mean, the, specifically that lamp one, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, yeah, but it looks good.
Yeah. You know? No, it does look good. Yeah.
Actually, the phone, you know when he gets the phone at the start in the package?
Yeah.
And he delivers the takes out. And I thought, oh, they've sent him like a cheap old burner phone and then the thing slots down.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's the futuristic phone. That's the super futuristic phone that they're using.
Yeah, it's called the banana phone, actually, the Nokia banana phone. And I don't think they ever went into like mass production or anything because they would have sold like hotcakes.
There was one model.
Yeah, but it wasn't that, like in the actual, like they weren't.
No, they had the thing where it clicks down, but it wasn't the exact same. But it looks really old now. Like it. Really
yeah, just
aged.
Like they gave him a
I assumed
shitty phone.
I thought it was the burner phone, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's really interesting about the movie is it dates and it doesn't date in that, like, if you think about it, like, it's really weird that the machines are just emulating 1999. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like if the machines took over now and then started emulating 1999, and phones would look like that. And you know what I mean? It's just such a weird time to emulate. And it's obviously because it's when the movie was made.
Mm. But when was the second one made?
2002 it came out. I think
Yeah, I think post 9/11.
Both sequels, yeah.
Did that affect anything in the film?
If there was any... No, I don't think any shots or anything, because it's all shot in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's any sequences that had to be cut or anything, like Spider-Man or any of those movies.
Yeah.
That scene in Spider-Man is ridiculous.
The one where the
criminals are throwing stones at the goblin.
Like, oh, yeah.
You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
Yeah, that kind of post. And that was still in The Amazing Spider-Man, like 15 years later. Yeah. They still had that, like, New Yorkers stay together because we're... And it's like, no, you don't. You all hate each other. What are you talking about? But yeah, and then they also cut a scene where he caught a helicopter between the two Twin Towers with a web.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what did you think of the sequels?
Garbage. Yeah, they're really bad.
They're bad.
I watched Reloaded again recently. In fact, we watched the first one and then directly after watched the second one. And I think I've seen the second one a lot more than the third one. I think I've seen only seen the third one once. Mm. Because the second one really just demotivates you into watching the third one. you're just like, I cannot. It's just, I don't know what they were thinking. It's just, but even if, like, you know, I used to think, like, oh, the sequels could have been so much better. But there's no sequels. That movie ends at, like, the movie ends with them going to save everyone and that's the end. Like, the second you start adding to that or anything. Also, it ends with Neo being a god. Like, he is, like, I think... What happened was, at the end of the first one, it was like he blows up Agent Smith by jumping into him. There's a few weird moments in this film that people don't like, the mirror going onto his body and his mouth closing up that are really weird and body horror-ish that aren't like mainstream. And it's weird that mainstream audiences were like, okay, now his mouth is closing up and they put a slug in his belly. Like, it's really weird. But he blows up Agent Smith and then he stops bullets and he flies. And the whole point of that is just like he has absolute control over the Matrix. That is what it's representing. And the phone call at the end is basically, I think it's just like, I can click my fingers and end the Matrix now. That's how much control I have over the Matrix. Mm. But then in the second ones, just to create like narrative, the sequels, it's like, oh no, he has the flying ability and the bullet stopping ability. Like, it's not like he's all powerful. He's just... a bit faster. And it's like, well, that's not what you were trying to convey at all, really.
Yeah,
like,
that's just Superman.
Yeah, he's just Superman now, rather than God. You know what I mean? So he's not interesting. And I mean, I just praise Keanu Reeves. What an acting. But then there's a lot of emotional stuff put on him in the sequels. And him and Carrie Ann Moss are just like two planks. And it's like, it's fine. It works when the plot is so exciting around it. But when it's not, when everything's being hung on like this... you know, great love story, and it's just like they're the most anodyne, boring people.
They get it on? I can't remember.
They do. They have sex during that awful rave scene. Yeah, it's really bad. There's someone released, and apparently it's good, but I can't imagine it's that good. But they released a cut of the two sequels together. It's called the De-Zionized Edition, where they just cut out all the Zion stuff because the Zion stuff's so boring. Like, it's so uninteresting. Yeah. Like, everything that's exciting is the Matrix. It's got a great world and a great feel, and people can run up walls. But in Zion, everything's just grey and everyone's sad.
Everybody's dressed like they're like in a Kanye fashion show as well.
Yeah, they're all in like derelict potato sacks. Yeah. It's just...
A few years after it came out, my brother got me the soundtrack for Christmas on CD. And I fell in love with that more than I fell in love with the film.
The soundtrack's amazing.
The soundtrack is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's how I got into like Rage Against the Machine and all.
Oh yeah, same. Yeah.
Probably a lot of people, yeah. I had friends who were obsessed with it, yeah.
Like, yeah, and Marilyn Manson. I didn't really like Marilyn Manson, but I liked his song. What was in it? Rock is Dead.
Yeah.
I think it was played at the credits or something.
I think it is played during the credits. And Rob Zombie in the club scene and But there's also like Propeller Head and
Club to Death.
What's the name of Rob Zombie? Not Rob. I can't remember the name of the...
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was everywhere.
It was.
Brilliant soundtrack.
Yeah, is it Propellerhead who did the lobby sequence music and they...
Prodigy.
No, it was
in the club as well.
Yeah, Prodigy. Club, okay. Yeah. All it's right. And then they it's but Propellerhead who made that song. I think they No, what's the name of that? Reason. They made that software, that music software.
Yeah.
They designed that. They made that. the propeller head did, which I think is really interesting. Because I remember it's like, the guys from The Matrix made Reason, and then it turns out it just flips the other way. It's like, oh, the guys who made Reason made that one song from The Matrix. Yeah, I don't know. The sequels are really bad. Like, really, like, it's all really... Because the first one's, like, really lean and efficient, and all the philosophy kind of just leads to... It's all very world-building. Like, it's explaining why this is this and all that. But the second one, there's just loads of, like, bloated stuff. And they just... They introduce... There's vampires and werewolves, and there's, like, And there's the ghosts, and it just, it's so... Yeah, the ghost twins who can move... Yeah,
the dreadlocks.
Yeah, it's so convoluted and not in any way...
What's the third one called?
Revolutions.
Revolution.
Oh, yeah. And it turns into this, it's just like really bad movie, yeah.
Because like in the first one, it's like there's the people who don't know about The Matrix, the people who do, and then the Oracle is kind of both.
Yeah.
And then in the sequel, it's like, no, there's those people who know about it, and they're just... Yeah. Here as well.
Yeah, and they're, but they're also like programs and the computers. Yeah. Like, why do the computers make this weird... And then they're like, this is the sixth... Zion has happened like six times and stuff, and they have that terrible sequence with the architect. It's really... I mean, we were watching especially when you watch it straight after the first one. It's like... And it's funny because the action sequences are, you know, they're well choreographed and excitingly put together, but without any of the drama behind it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like... That fight sequence in the subway, it's like there's so much drama behind like Agent Smith, like who he's been in the film and how threatening he's been, and then Neo having to believe in himself. But when Neo's just like looking bored and beating up a bunch of people who you just got introduced to, and he uses Jedi powers at one bit. He pulls knives off a wall, like size actually, you know, like pulls them off a wall using his mind and then never uses that again. Like, is that an extension of him being able to stop bullets? Why doesn't he just, like, psychically make stuff fly? Like, there's so many... Like, anyway, yeah. It's just... I realize the second you expand that world out even a little bit, it just completely falls apart.
Yeah. Did you ever watch The Animatrix?
Yeah, Animatrix is great.
Some good stuff in there.
It's really good, yeah. It's a bit... It's got that kind of, like... anthology feel of just, well, not anthology, but yeah, of just like everything feeling a bit disjointed from each other. But there's some really solid movies in there.
There's actually a really good one where there's just like a little square on a building site that where nothing works properly, and there's a little girl discovers it.
Yeah.
And just plays with it.
And the gravity's kind of broken and stuff. And Thor 2 ripped that off.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. It's really interesting. There's the two ones that are the history of like the machines, and that was really good. It explains how like the machines rose up and how they became a civilization and how they... It's really interesting because it's actually like there was a machine robot city, and that like economically started like fighting with like human cities and stuff, and then humans just finally nuked it, and then the war broke out. It's really great. It's really interesting. Do you know, actually I'll mention this kind of non sequitur, but we're talking about how you know, Lana and Lily are transitioned, and it's really funny irony because, you know, like the red pill online, like the kind how they got their name from a film made by two trans women who are talking about like their own like sexual identity and stuff. And it just goes to show how clueless they are that they totally read into the movie completely wrong. Yeah. Like,
anything that makes MRA sad really is.
Oh, good. It's great. Yeah.
Just, are they twins?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Are the Coen brothers twins?
No.
Oh, I thought they were all twins.
No, they're not. They're not.
For some reason.
No, the Wachowskis aren't. They've had a real strange career. Like, even not including the sequels, they've had a really strange career. They like made Speed Racer, which, like, none of their movies have been successful, really, after The Matrix, I would say, financially or critically. But they made Speed Racer, which I don't know if you've seen Speed Racer.
No, I was totally put off by the reviews at the time.
It's super, it got panned, and you could hate it, absolutely. It's weird because the Wachowski movies, like, I don't know, they all get like pretty mediocre reviews. But me, like, I saw Cloud Atlas the other day and really, really didn't like it. But then I saw, you know, Sense8, which is almost exactly the same. And everyone, all the criticisms toward Cloud Atlas are almost the exact same towards Sense8, but I love Sense8, which is their Netflix show. Mm. And then same with Speed Racer, you know, has, I loved it, I think it's like, it's almost like, it's like this weird, like, children's show acid trip of a movie. Like, it's borderline experimental. Like, it's so insane. And I really liked it because it's just, you're just watching and you're like, this is the most insane thing. There's like, he has this little brother character who has a pet monkey, and they, it's worth watching, but you'll probably hate it. But yeah, they haven't really gotten the hit that, I don't know, it was like a perfect storm, The Matrix was, yeah, of just like influences from,
you how know. Old were they when they made that? I remember watching the making of it, and I thought they looked very young, like they were yeah, early 20s,
maybe, could have so been, let me figure this out.
I think it's so nice as well that they both transitioned together.
No, well, Lana transitioned years and years ago. And what happened with Lily was she was forced out because a reporter came to her door and was like, I know that you're trans and I'm going to make a story about it. And then she had to just come out then. And she was actually really, really angry about being forced out.
For God's sake.
So they're 48 and 51 now. And the movie's like 17. So they would have been late 20s, early 30s. Yeah.
Right, okay.
That is young.
Yeah.
That's really young.
I'm 32 now, and I'm...
What have we done?
Every day I get annoyed by how young people are doing things that I didn't do. Like George Harrison was 26 when the Beatles split up.
I know. Oh, my God. That's insane.
It's horrible.
Well, Orson Welles was 26 when he made Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
yeah. That's the worst one for me, yeah. I think, yeah.
There's also, if you look at all those sites, you know, like, what, you know, super, super wealthy and fabulous celebrities were doing at your age now, and a lot of them were kind of getting fucked over in their late 20s, you know.
Yeah,
James Dean was dead by now, so you're beating him anyway.
Oh Jesus,
still being alive.
Yeah 27, that's the one, the next one for me.
Oh, you're not 27 yet?
No, I'm 27 in April.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's the best year of your life.
Yeah
25 is the worst, so you're doing okay.
I love 25.
I really know how to break them. Like, not a natural, like, break, but like a mini kind of.
That's interesting, though, because 25.
I had mine then.
Yeah.
Maybe 26. I don't want to say breakdown, but 26 has just been a bit crummy for me. But 25 was good because I moved out. I got a job. It was all very exciting. And also, 24 and 23, I was like, ooh, this is shit. But then 25, you know, it's mid 20s. It sounds grown up. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, I live on my own and I have health insurance. Yeah. And then people
health insurance.
Yeah, but then people would be like,
"Wow,
I got it when I had a job, so and I don't successful. Have a job now." but when people, but people would still be like, "Oh my God, you don't look 25," and I was like, "Really?" but now 26, everyone's just like, "Oh, you're old." I remember so when I was in Edinburgh, I went over to do Mimes and Time, but to do a show over there. But there was everyone working front of house. In Underbelly is like super young. They're all like the oldest. Like there was this one girl who was like, I suppose she was like a supervisor. She was like one of the higher ups there, and I assumed she was like 27 or something. And she was like, yeah, I turned 21 this month. And I was like, and I was talking to this one girl, a good friend of mine actually, but she was 19, and I was like, oh my God, you make me feel so old. And like 26, I know 26 isn't old, but it is old compared to 19.
Yeah,
but I was like, I feel so old. And she's like, you're not that old. And I was like, I'm closer to 30 than your age. And her face just dropped. Like, she wasn't like, that's... She was just like, oh. Like, she looked kind of disgusted.
When you're that age, you're kind of like, I'll have my whole life figured out by 30.
Yeah.
But there's...
It's really... I think you never hit that point.
No, you don't. Yeah. Definitely don't.
It was just funny.
Like, I bought a house when I was 25.
And I still a house?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't have health insurance. Yeah.
I'm the loser, I don't feel like growing up at all.
Yeah. Look, I have health insurance. I can't afford it though, so it's not really a victory. But yeah, no, because I was working like a 9-to-5 job. Sorry for the rustling. I'm eating some cookie for those at home. But and then that dried up, and I was just like, oh no. But I really enjoyed 25. Sounds good.
I'm 27, and since I was like 17, people always assumed that I was 27.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I had short hair. Still have short hair. But that was always the age that people guessed I was. So I used to always go and buy my friends drink. And my trick was to go in with a set of keys. They'd just be like my house keys and my locker key from school. like, hey, strike up a conversation with the guy behind the counter. Yeah. It's cold out today.
Yeah.
And can I have 14 naggins and a crate of Bavaria, please? And I'd always make a phone call and say, like, does Auntie Mary want a naggin? Yeah, okay, I'll get another naggin. 15 naggins. And so I always thought, like, cool, when I'm 27, I'm going to be the age that everyone thinks I am.
Yeah. You have a lot of wisdom in your eyes. That's probably it. Yeah. You look wise.
I remember someone I know used to go into a shop that was also an off license and go in and buy a loaf of bread and wine and say it was for his mother's dinner party. She was short. And then just walk out with wine, the bread, and just throw the bread over a wall.
I'd keep the bread.
Yeah.
It's not a bread.
What kind of bread? Was it like fancy bread?
Just a pan, I think. It's a nice pan.
Half
who,
pan.
Who like uses like a like Brennan's bread for a dinner party?
Bread and butter pudding.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I used to work in an off-license actually, and if someone did start talking to me, even if they were nice and I had a suspicion they were underage, the talking would probably throw me over the edge and not ask them. Yeah. Like, if they're having a conversation with someone in authority, they must be an adult.
Where did you work in an off-license?
Oh, the supermarket in Waterford.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's where you're from, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, like, just imagine if it was the off-license that I used to go into.
Yeah. Everyone always just assumes I'm 12 for the last. Yeah. Everyone just thinks
I'm a child. Do you have to bring around ID? Child. I would ID
so you. Recently, not so much for buying boots. Actually, yeah. Sometimes, yeah, I haven't been really. And but sometimes they give me a look. Like Lidl, they always ID. But yeah,
you look so young, but your skin is so clear that you couldn't be like an adolescent boy.
What do you mean? In terms
like you,
of
like if you had lots and lots of spots.
Yeah,
like,
I get you.
You're a child,
yeah.
But your face is so clear,
and
but
yeah.
You have a baby face.
I don't know. I think I try and give off an air when I'm like going by boots. I'm just like, come on. Do I, like it's like, yes, I look young. Do I look 17? Yeah. You know what I mean? That's kind of always my vibe.
You actually look very much like my brother for like his entire life.
How old's he?
He's like 32 or 33.
And he's
now.
A baby.
But
face,
he's been younger though.
Yeah. Oh, like he's yeah. Like he's just like he's just tall, skinny, always looks young. But then he started growing a beard. And since he's been in Australia, and he got a bit into some sports, not sports ball. He started cycling and stuff and running because he was a bit lonely over there because he was living in Darwin for ages, and he said Darwin's like just so boring in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he decided like instead of just staying at home watching, like.
Home and away.
Box sets and stuff. Yeah. He just has to get out and exercise and stuff, you know.
That's what I started doing when I became unemployed. Just started going to the gym. Don't even enjoy it. It's just something to do. Yeah, my girlfriend's very young looking as well. She just turned 25 last Tuesday. And she's really, really young looking.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Natalie. You won't be listening to this. It was funny because when we were in college, we started going out together in college. And we were both really, really young looking. And there's a year and a half between us and all. But we always joked about like how weird it would be if one of us looked our age, because then it would just look like the other was dating a child. Yeah. Like I was like, it's pretty lucky that I'm also like pretty fresh faced and young as well, because she's very like short and young looking as well.
Mm.
It happens sometimes that people think we're siblings.
It's great though. I hope that like the process of like your like physical aging stays this slow.
Yeah, me too. Fingers crossed.
I'd want that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say I'm going to like look the same for about 4 more years and then I'm going to wake up one day and just be old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Sorry, I don't know. My parents have aged fairly, like really gracefully. Really.
My parents too, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, genetics.
Okay. Yeah.
It's
my eyes have gotten very, very old in the last couple of years. And it's because I laugh and watch comedy so much that I've got loads of laughter lines up here.
Oh, really?
But I think. Underneath, I think like I started using like a skincare regime.
Oh, same, yeah.
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 And I hate it, and it's expensive. But like, women spend so much money on makeup and creams. I'm like, I can probably justify spending that as well.
Yeah.
I was going to buy cheap blades the other day, and I was like women buy like have to buy so much stuff. I can spend €10 on some blades.
I have a really. I did it this morning. I have a really in-depth like shaving routine, like proper shaving, because I just decided I was like, because I'm really like, I can't grow much of a beard at all. So people assume I like, it's weird when you assume people with beards know stuff about shaving, but of course they don't, because they don't shave.
Yeah.
But I have to shave like all the time, because it just like, it looks like dirt on my face if I get any stubble. But I've started using like a safety razor. So it's like a butterfly razor that takes actual old like razor blades, and I have like a proper like brush and like cream, like, and I do the old like old fashioned kind of put it on my face and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole thing of just like, you have to like soak the brush for,
do
like,
you have to put a wet a hot towel in your face to like open up your pores
beforehand? Well, usually I just take a hot shower, and then afterwards you soak the brush while you're showering in like warm water, so it softens the brush, and then. The cream is like expensive, but a little goes a long way. Like you really save money in that way. And same with the blades. Like the actual razor itself was like expensive enough, but the blades are dirt cheap.
It's not that expensive, is it, to get like a hot shave, a hot towel shave?
I'd say it's expensive. You usually get it with a haircut or something. The thing is, I don't grow enough beard to get one. They just be like, oh, do you want us to? It's like paying someone to mow like one patch of grass or something.
Yeah, they would just do my neck if they were doing it. So it'd be pointless. Which is the original contouring for men, is shaving your neck.
But I'd recommend getting the safety razor or something. It's pretty, also you feel really old fashioned, and you're like,
you're a vest while you do it.
Yeah. You just feel like an old fashioned misogynist. Just like, she's my wife. It's good.
Do you have quick fire questions about the Matrix?
Yeah.
What is real? What is fantasy? What is the true self?
So what's real? What's fantasy?
What's real? This can be in relation to the film.
So the Matrix is fantasy. The real world is
the
real.
The Matrix is where Neo is in the beginning of the film.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fantasy.
That's fantasy.
So does that mean, like, you know when you're in the Matrix, so a lot of people are, say, in the Matrix, but they don't know that they're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
So does that mean that they're, are they being programmed to, so he was being programmed to be a hacker, like that was,
I don't think, no, I think it's just like in the same way that, like, I think because they talk about how there's choice and free will, you know, but I think he just, you know, kind of, I don't think they really influence you in that big way. I think he just wanted to do that.
Okay,
so here's the interesting thing, and do you have more quick fire questions?
Well, let's see where this one takes us first.
Yeah
I was going to say about Elon Musk discussing recently that, because I think Cypher has a point. Now, he doesn't have to kill a load of people, but they're all like, it's not real, but it is real.
Yeah, and he wants to go back.
He wants to go back.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is dumb, because obviously the machines are just going to pulp him. You know, they're not going to put him back in, because it'd just be easier to kill him. Like, they obviously would. But that kind of whole, like, that whole argument of, like, taking someone out of the Matrix is a horrible thing to do to someone.
Yeah,
because
I don't
it
mind
is real.
Living in the Matrix.
It is a reality.
Yeah.
It's as real as you being in the outside world.
Yeah.
They're both realities. Like, people have this idea of, like, you know, the like with the internet, people interfacing with the internet, you know, it's not real, but it is real. It is because it is reality. And that's Elon Musk recently was talking about how he's, you know, he thinks it's highly, highly improbable that we aren't in a simulation right now. That this isn't some form of simulation. And he gives a pretty good argument for it. And who cares? You know
it's
what I mean?
Terrifying.
Yeah. Like, who cares? Like, reality is such, it's so overrated. Like, what's real?
Yeah.
Like, it's all nonsense, basically.
My boyfriend recently, when we were out drinking, started going on about, and this was before I rewatched The Matrix now last night, and he was saying how, like, you know, in the future, we're all just going to be, like, you know, in, like, pools of goo, and we're going to be plugged into a machine, and everything's just going to be simulated. And I was like, all right, okay. And then I just realized, like, that was just the plot
of the Matrix.
Yeah. It's like, there was nothing unique you
picked
out there.
But I mean, it's not even like, I mean, if we make it that far, I mean, we're going to probably start simulating worlds pretty soon. And it's kind of one of those things that, like, you know, Elon Musk, people are like, oh, Elon Musk thinks we're in a simulation, you know, like the Matrix. But I think that's a bad, because the Matrix is you're plugged into something and you're experiencing it. But like, who's to say we aren't, you know, just part of the simulation, you know what I mean? As much as like dogs and cats in the Matrix are animals.
Did you see Kevin McGahern's America, the show this week?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
The first one.
Yeah.
So it was all about like cam girls.
Oh yeah.
And he did a bit of the virtual reality.
Oh, did he?
With the cam girl.
Oh.
And he looked so uncomfortable because he told me that they were filming in, God, where was it? Portland, Oregon. And they had to turn off the air conditioning in this girl's house because it interfered with the recording. So he was just sitting there sweating in the middle of summer. And he just, because he was sweating, his hair was like starting to like stick to his face. He just looked like such a pervert sitting there.
What was the setup exactly? He was in.
So he had the VR glasses, yeah. And your one went into her bedroom and just started like talking dirty to him and like crawling on the bed towards
onto
him,
a camera.
Onto a camera, and yeah. he was in the other room on the couch, just like, oh wow, it's so real. And then he turned to his left and just went, oh, you can see everything. And he just started like looking at the bookshelf.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, it really feels like I'm in someone else's room.
Yeah.
And then she came in and she kind of sat down beside him all sexy and was like, so how was that for you? And he just like moved away from her and crossed his legs and was like, yeah, it's really real, isn't it?
He's clearly uncomfortable with it, yeah. I went to see a show in Edinburgh that was great, but it was this comedian called Nicole Henriksen, but she's a stripper.
Was she topless for the whole thing or nudie?
She came out in her underwear and then stripped. It was kind of, she would talk about her life as a stripper. It was really, really, it was a great show. But I didn't, going into it, because I was just like, we'll go to this thing when we first went to see it. And going into it, I felt like, because it was like, she's like a proper stripper and she's amazing. But I just felt so uncomfortable. I was like, I've been tricked. I know, because I never want to go to it go see stripper. I have no interest in seeing that or anything. But I remember just being like, oh no. Like, I was just like, it was really uncomfortable. And just like, and I was still really enjoying it. Like, it was a great performance. But I remember just being like, good job. You know what I mean? Just,
there were a few
funny
shows like that in Edinburgh this year. Like, there were about three.
There was
comedy.
Loads. There's loads of like kind of drag, sexy kind of.
Yeah.
There was a lot of.
I didn't go see any of them. Now.
No, I wouldn't be interested in
no
any of that
way.
Now.
I'd be scared.
I would be so uncomfortable with that kind of, especially if you're being filmed for a TV show. You're like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is
good
that
job
what was
there.
Happening there?
No. For
oh
the,
right,
yeah,
okay,
Kevin McGann's.
Yeah, America. I remember I went over to last Christmas. Me and my boyfriend. And Kevin and his girlfriend Siobhan and another couple went over to Amsterdam for New Year's Eve. And the whole way over, we're just like, yeah, we'll go to the red light district, have the crack away. And we were there New Year's Eve and we walked through the red light district and we were all like having the crack, walking down the road and being like, come on, yeah, we'll see a peep show. And then as soon as we walked into the red light district, we all just felt really weird. I just felt really uncomfortable because... mainly because of like two kind of interactions I saw with these girls. So I saw this really old man who it was just so disturbing. He was like bartering with the woman and like I heard him saying like €5 and she was like, no, like, and he ended up going in for like €7 or something. And I was like, oh God, this just feels horrible.
Yeah.
Like €7 with that man.
Yeah.
Like, and then...
just the darkness of it all. Yeah.
Yeah, and we went looking for this. We were mad to play a game of pool and we actually couldn't find any places over there with a pool table. So we looked it up on Google Maps or whatever and we found this place and it happened to be right in the middle of the red light district. So I said, look, we'll go and find there. We went over and it wasn't... it said pool room, which we thought to be like, you know, a games room.
Oh, but it was like a pool, like a swimming pool?
No,
or?
It was a, you know, like those children's balls, like a big pool ball, big pool room.
But for sex?
No, okay. It was like, it was like an arcade pub.
Oh, okay.
It had all these like arcade games and then this big pool ball ring in the middle. And we went in looking for it and right across the road and it's all glass windows in this place.
Yeah.
And there's like women standing in windows across the way. And we went in and we just jumped into the pool. And we were just like, way! And then someone took a picture of a few of us and put it up on Facebook. And it...
you could see in the background.
Facebook does this thing where like, without you even realizing, it tags you into where you are. So it's just all of us in it, like playing like innocent children. And I just said like, taken at the red light. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Well, that's what we did. Yeah.
Okay.
Fun.
Quick for our question two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Establish what's real and what isn't.
Yeah.
Could The Matrix be used as a really elaborate ad for fiber power broadband? Because throughout the film, I just thought, like, this could be an ad.
Yeah.
For broadband, for some reason.
Like, The Matrix as in the movie, or, like, you know, The Matrix as a thing? Like, in terms of, like, plugging people into The Matrix. Like, you're just like,
both.
Surprise, you're in the real world. Do you want to buy some broadband?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it would. I think it's a... It's an audacious idea, but I don't think traumatizing your customers is a great idea. They might be just so, like, mentally destroyed afterwards that they're willing to do everything. So I'm going to say yeah, okay. Definitely. It okay. would be a good ad.
Do you know what really actually scared me about the film was where they put that little bug into his belly button?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just like rejuvenated this fear of what is in my belly button.
It's a really weird scene, because, like, it raises so many questions about how the Matrix works. Like, yeah. Surely, like it seems to be the Matrix world is, like, this weird organic kind of world. Like, surely they should just be like in the same way that, like, in The Sims, you don't have to track a sim by physically pinning them down and putting a, like, you can just click on it in the menu. Surely they can do that with Neo. They're like, click on him in the menu. But the fact that they have to send agents in or create these agents that they can't just teleport, like, they have to go into people, like, it's I don't know what, yeah, it's, you know, obviously how they coded it or whatever. It's
who's
just
the main
it's really
person in charge? Is it the architect?
No, I think it's yeah, well, what happens is there's the architect who's in the Matrix, who's a program in the Matrix, but then, oh my god, Neo gets blinded. And Trinity gets killed, actually. There's in the third one. Yeah, it's garbage. They don't exist. Like, there's actually a thing online where people, when everyone's like, those Matrix sequels are so bad, people are like, yeah, well, they never came out, though. Like, they just ignore that they ever happened. But yeah, that, like, when Neo talks to this big machine face, who I think gets named in some way. But I thought the whole point of the machines was that they were, like, you know, like ants or something, to split intelligence. They didn't have a single, you know what I mean? That it wasn't like this one person, because they're not people, they're just like the machines, the whole machine. I assume it.
Yeah, they never really show us, like, what the machines are doing with their
dominance.
So it's
not like one, like, just like overweight computer hacker sitting there like,
No. I think it's just like they exist equally, you know what I mean? But Agent Smith seems to be independent, because there's interesting things. He thinks independently. He talks about, like, wanting to get out of the Matrix. Mm-hmm. And in the sequels, he's kind of got more agency. Anyway, but he's got, like, more of a person and stuff. But let's forget those movies. In the first one, is it like the machines coded him to want to get out of the Matrix because that's a good motivator for trying to catch these people and get into Zion? Like, is that why he's like that? Or has he actually gone rogue?
Yeah.
And there's a thing, interesting thing is, in terms of how you know he's an individual, to a certain extent, is he takes the earpiece out of his ear near the end. And then they come in, they're like, oh, he doesn't know. And it's, he doesn't know because he doesn't have the earpiece in. So is that his own, that's his only connection to the machines, is being told the information. He doesn't simultaneously think with all of them.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so it's kind of weird. Like, it's weird in that way that they do seem to create individuals within the Matrix. Mm. Like, in terms of the agents, they kind of do. Like, Agent Smith does have a personality. Like, he is a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know when they unplug him? So he wakes up and stands up, and one of the, I guess, the machines comes over and unplugs him.
Yeah.
And then they just eject him. So what? They just eject him into a sewer.
Yeah.
They just leave bodies there then, or what happens?
I have a feeling, they don't say it or anything, because there's a few things they don't explain, and I have a feeling it's because they literally explain everything else like way too much. But I have a I always thought it was just like whatever about them doing the red pill and doing whatever they were doing, that they basically emulated him dying in the Matrix. So the machine just went through a process of like dumping the body.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's still alive. So the machines, like, you could trick the machines into thinking he's dead by like making his vitals block out, and then what they do is they just pick him up and dump him out, I assume. And then they can pick him up with the big claw that covers his penis. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Let's see.
I thought these were going to be just trivia questions, but these are pretty in-depth, yeah.
They're all my questions.
Okay, cool.
Is there anything you feel has gone unsaid about The Matrix?
I can't think of anything at the moment. I think I've said all the things. It's great. The fighting is cool.
Yeah.
That I just to say, 10-year-old me seeing that lobby sequence where they shoot everyone was like the most exciting thing I'd ever seen. And I was talking about with my friend James. We were talking about the whole metal detector bit, which is a really cool movie moment. But he was like, it's the dumbest thing. It's so uncool. If you did it in real life, just like, I've got lots of cool guns. Like, it's super lame and like, it's real funny. It's, yeah, that's it, I think.
Cool. I guess we'll leave it there. So
cool.
Thank Wonderful. You, Andrea. Thank you, Huber.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
And that's the podcast. Thank you again to Huber Hanley. Go watch all the Dreamland videos on YouTube because every single one of them is brilliant. Andrea is still here.
I'm here.
Yeah. How did you think that went?
Very good.
Good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huber's great.
Yeah.
Go see his script readings whenever you can.
Yes. And to get stuff for those.
Yeah.
We need to thank some people. First of all, thank you for coming in.
Thank me. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. We need to thank Dean McDonald for doing the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
We thank the Headstuff Podcast Network for hosting us.
Thank you, Headstuff.
Yeah. And we need to say that Shauna Scott's new podcast, Our Sexual History, is out now. And that'll be really good as well. So I think that's everything we want to say.
Cool.
Best thoughts, Andrea?
Just take care of yourself, folks.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.